Again, let me say what a delight it is to worship with you here this morning and to gather with each and one, every one of you. Thank you for the worship team and for leading us in singing, and also that last song. That's a beautiful song that really represents, I think, this facility as we drive by so many times and see it as a lighthouse, and know that you have had an impact too. Over the years, this congregation has had an impact in Leduc and in this region as well. Well, I'm tasked to lead us into God's Word here this morning and give you a word of encouragement from the Scriptures. I want to ask just a very simple question here this morning. Is God building His church today? And if so, how can I be a part of it? I want to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to be reading from that section, verses 13 down to the end of verse 20, very shortly. I ask that question today because sometimes we lament, and today that wonder, is God still building His church? North America today, there seems to be that we are moving upstream, and there's so many headwaters that we're facing. Just very recently, we've been reminded again that we live in a post-Christian era, increasing secularism. There's a growing hostility towards the Christian faith that seems to be all around us. It seems that the society is saying you can practice your Christian faith. You can do it privately. You can maybe even do it within your own buildings. But Christian faith does not have a place in the public arena, in the decision-making bodies that it once had. Also, there's increased government legislation that is changing the landscape today. You have lamented together with me the recent decision from the Supreme Court of Canada that disallows the Trinity Western University from establishing a law department. And you know that at one time, most of our universities and higher places of education started out of the Christian faith and out of churches and denominations. Also, there's quite a scandal this spring in terms of the attestation scandal, you might call it, where you needed to ascribe to a certain anti-abortion position. Otherwise, you were not allowed, you were not permitted to have a student summer employment grant. And this, as a consequence, many of our evangelical churches cannot ascribe, many of our camps, and as a consequence, many of them had to forfeit that grant that would offer students employment as well. Well, there's other things that we could say that, is somehow the church being marginalized today? Somehow we're not able to have the impact that we once had. But as I thought about as well on the other side and looked at the last 20 years that we are celebrating this building, and here in our district there is much to be encouraged as well, I looked at some statistics and discovered that Sunday morning attendance has increased over the span of the last 20 years nearly 20% in our Christian and Missionary Alliance churches, and we're deeply grateful for that, and we give God the glory. Baptisms, did you know that it's nearly 45% have increased over the past 20 years? The numbers of people that have come forward in profession of faith and have gone through the waters of baptism. Professions of faith, even last year, 1,500 in 1 year across Alberta. Those who have stepped forward and wanted to profess faith in Jesus Christ. The number of churches have increased over the last 20 years now to 150 churches across Alberta. That's just Alberta alone. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful for that. But I also know that there's a deep hunger in the hearts of God's people and even in the Alliance people for much, much more. Someone has said, we have perhaps become complacent. Would you call the church to a higher vision, to see the bigger picture, the opportunities amidst the new realities? And then someone has said, there's a sense that God has taken the Alliance into a new season, a deeper awareness of God's Spirit, renewal. We hunger for that to happen in our midst. Someone else said, the Spirit is calling us into honesty with each other, and that God opens us to receive when we acknowledge our absolute dependence on Him. And someone said this, and I quote, we need to get back to the main things. What are the main things? I'd like to remind you of that even here this morning. Well, how can I know the blessing of God upon my church, upon Leduc Alliance Church, upon each and every church across Alberta? And I want to share with you this morning three focus areas that I believe God is calling us to in these coming days. I want to remind you of these truths and challenge them and encourage you with those as well. But first of all, let me read from Matthew chapter 16, and here's a declarative statement that Jesus gives to His disciples. It must have been an encouragement to them back then, and I believe it will be an encouragement to you today. Matthew chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but from my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. Well, as we look at this particular scripture passage, let me just say a couple of things in regards to it. First, Jesus is reminding His anxious disciples that He does have a plan, that there is a redemptive program, and that it's right on schedule as well. He's saying in this passage that I'm in control, and you have every reason to trust me. Perhaps there was a growing disillusionment among those disciples. After all, Jesus was purported to be the Messiah. And when he refused to pick up arms and move against the Roman legions at that particular time, they began to wonder, isn't a Messiah supposed to free and emancipate the Hebrew people? What is He doing? And despite His supernatural powers and claims of divine authority, it seemed at this point that He was less influential now and less respected than when He first began His ministry. Hence the question Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? That's a good question for each one of us this morning, isn't it? Who do you say I am? John the Baptist. Peter responds, Elijah, Jeremiah. And then Peter, you know, he's the outspoken one, and he represents the 12 apostles, and he says, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's unequivocal. He's definitive. You are the maker. You're the redeemer of mankind. You're the supreme and sovereign architect of history. And to that, Jesus makes that statement that many of you are very familiar with, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Some in Christendom have said, well, maybe He's going to build His church upon the Apostle Peter himself, and some have purported to say that Peter became the first pope and the bishop of Rome. But yet, that interpretation seems rather presumptuous in the fact that you read many New Testament teachings that says that Jesus Christ Himself is the foundation and the only head of the church. Let me just say make some further observations regarding Jesus' statement here found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. First of all, He speaks about the foundation of the church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, in many places in the scriptures we could go, we could find, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, where it says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We've said it already here this morning, Jesus, you're the cornerstone of this church, of this gathering. We're here in your name. We're here to worship you and to glorify you and you alone. And we're the living stones that are fitted in to build a spiritual house. Secondly, there's a certainty that Jesus gives. I will build my church. It's not only in the past, as we've been reminded of, but it's in the future. He's going to continue to build his church. It's in the future tense. The idea that he has been building, but he will continue to build it as well. No matter the discouraging circumstances and times, Christ will build his church. And then he speaks about intimacy as well. It's my church, he says. We are Christ's body, it says in Acts chapter 20, purchased with his own blood, and are one with him in a marvelous and holy intimacy. Another place in 1 Corinthians it says, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one in spirit with him. God identifies himself with his people, and that's the reason we come from all different backgrounds, all different ethnicities. But there's something about the person of Jesus Christ that we've experienced, and it draws us together into his family. And we worship together. We love one another. We call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. It's marvelous to behold. Here's the word of identity. Jesus uses the word church here. He's not referring, of course, to buildings as beautiful as this building is, and we celebrate 20 years of it here. But rather, he uses the word for the first time, ecclesia. It means the called out ones. This is the first time he's used it in this New Testament passage. And in other words, you are the ecclesia or the church. You are part of this growing community of faith. Each one of us who've experienced Christ's regenerative work, transformative work in our own person. And then also number five, it's this passage here, this verse speaks about invincibility. Nothing is going to hinder or stop this movement. Satan can throw all he wants at it, but it will continue to grow and thrive. I just finished reading the biography of Reverend Watchman Nee. He was an instrumental leader in China during the communist era. And it seems I was reminded again how during that era, Mao Zedong threw everything he had at the Christian leaders at that time. He imprisoned them. He killed many of them. And yet we discover 40, 50 years later that the church had simply spread. And it had it had just multiplied exponentially all across China. That's what Christ is committed to do. And then finally, authority. In verse 19, we read this here. Let me remind you, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. With the word of God in our hands, the church has authority to declare what is divinely forbidden or permitted on earth. It seems here's a mandate for those to hold one another accountable within the body of Christ. Certainly leaders are held accountable for their faith and practice. And even also it seems that church members are held accountable that we might be led towards restoration, towards reconciliation before God and before one another as well. Well, this is the church. This is the church. Christ is building it. We've seen it happen for over 2,000 years. He's committed to doing exactly that. We're living stones being placed into his spiritual house. But the question remains, how can we be a part of it? How can I be a part of it, even in this particular juncture of time? Our district, the national leadership team, is challenging our churches in three ways, and three priorities, and I want to share them with you here this morning. First of all, disciple-making. We're wanting to call the church back to the main thing. After all, you know that before Jesus parted, he gave the Great Commission, and he said, go ye into all the world and make what? Disciples of all nations. And we're calling our churches back to make that a high priority once again. Disciples of all peoples. Jesus called his people, his disciples at that time. He said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's still the call that Jesus gives to each one of us today. That mandate has not changed over 2,000 years. We found that although church programs help, ultimately they often don't create disciples. Only other disciples do. And being a disciple of Jesus is living your life as if Jesus was living it in and through you, which he is. And Jesus' invitation and call to make disciples is his will for a fruitful life and a prosperous church experience. Are you making disciples? Well, you'd say, what about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about someone that God has placed across your path even of late? For the last number of years, I've had a wonderful experience of meeting a young man out of Red Deer. He was an Ambrose student, and I met him on a regular basis. And we went through a sort of a discipleship guide and talked about what it means to live the Christian faith. Of course, he was much, much younger than me, and we had some great times. In fact, he has now graduated, and he hopes to move on and find employment within one of our churches. And we just had a golf game just on Friday, just to cap things off between he and I. But what a wonderful experience it was for me just to share my life and my experience with him, and he to share with me. As he moves on, I'm now going to meet with a group of fellows in my own local church in Cochrane, 4 to 5 men. We're going to meet every Friday morning. We have it planned. We have a little discipleship guide. And we're going to see if we can just continue to spur one another on to grow in our Christian faith. You know, it doesn't have to be terribly complicated. Obtain some sort of a help or a guide, a discipleship guide, and meet on a regular basis with that person that God has placed across your path. We're calling our churches. We're calling people as yourself here to renew that emphasis upon the main thing, keeping the main thing, discipleship. Secondly, it's the renewal of the Holy Spirit and seeking the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You can't read the scriptures in Jesus' statements. In fact, in John 14 and John 15 and John 16, so much. He says, better that I leave you, because then the Comforter can come, the Holy Spirit can come, and he can minister to you. Your pastor, Shannon, and I had a wonderful experience going to Steinbeck, Manitoba in the dead of winter. Now, we would have to be a little insane to go to southern Manitoba in the dead of winter. But we went to a church renewal conference there in Steinbeck, and it was a wonderful experience. You have gone there since then and taken a few others as well. And I remember, here's a congregation that simply has a hunger to go deeper in the things of Jesus. The corporate prayer time was a highlight for me, as we gathered together on Sunday evening, and there was at least 1,000 people that came together. The church was full. And as we prayed in a most animated and engaged way, it was such a blessing. I've been there now, I think, at least four times. And what a blessing it's been to me. The key is that there is always more freedom, more victory, as we sang about here this morning. Is learning to cultivate that heart of expectancy. Lord, what do you want to do in and through me in today and in these coming days? God, I want more of you. But often before we can experience the more, he needs to deal with some of the junk in our own lives that we're discovering. And we need to set aside that sin that so often entangles us or enslaves us. Those things like addictions or lies that we've told ourselves for a long time. Those wounds to the soul, unforgiveness, bondage to the enemy, those things we give an opportunity, and when we meet together with Holy Spirit encounter type of experiences, and we renounce those things in Jesus' name and invite His forgiveness and invite His empowerment into our lives. And the key is to know our identity in Jesus Christ, that we're deeply loved and we're cherished. We're His children, and He wants to bless our lives thoroughly. Well, we've held countless Holy Spirit encounter sessions sponsored by our district across Alberta. Perhaps some of you, I don't know, have attended one or two as well. And they are a place where people release their junk in their lives and discover simply more of the presence of Jesus. And in those encounters, we learn to listen still to the voice of the shepherd. He spoke back then, but does He speak to us today? If I have my Bible open in an attitude of prayer, will He speak to my heart today and guide me and inform me? And lost people are often reached not only with words and deeds, but in demonstration of God's power and even healings that are taking place. We thank God for what He's doing. We just had a General Assembly just in the first part of June. Following that week of General Assembly, and I've been to many of them, and I would say this General Assembly was the best yet. It was wonderful, the spirit of unity and spirit of just cooperation that was there. But following that, we had a Soul Care Equipping Conference where we equipped many of our pastors and workers in terms of learning to bring their people together and to bring restoration and healing into their lives and some of the areas that need to be addressed and allow God's Spirit to minister to them. All of this is intended to be normal. Simply a normal part of our Christian experience, of our disciple-making environment, and leading to a fruitful type of mission, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Are you experiencing that? Or is it just simply an ethical rule that you follow? It's supposed to be much more than that. We're to experience the living Christ that we can talk to and walk with on a regular basis. Thirdly, I want to speak about, challenge you towards missions and reach the least reached everywhere. Disciple making, renewal of the Spirit, and missions. West of Field, BC, there's a point where the stream separates in mid-flow, and it's possible to have 1 foot in one stream and the other foot in the other. And the one stream leads all the way to the Pacific Ocean, and the other one leads all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. It's called the Great Divide. Within a very short distance, that small trickling stream takes on the nature of a tumbling, flowing river. Well, I don't need to remind you that in the 1930s, for example, the Muslim population was like that tiny little stream. In 1938, the first mosque was built in Edmonton when the total Muslim population in Canada was only 700 people. Only 700. It's a much different story today as thousands of people from all around the world have come. By God's design, the people of the world are coming to Canada like never before. As a result, you've heard of Palm Ministries in Edmonton. Harold Clausen has set that up and has a wonderful ministry that's taking place there. Student International Ministries, maybe some of you have been a part of that as well. Lives are being transformed. Many times these young students are going back and evangelizing, sharing the good news with their family, and we're hearing reports. The gospel is literally traveling to the nooks and crannies of the world. You know, from the world's perspective, it says people are being displaced many times from war-torn or from difficult circumstances. But I wonder from God's perspective if people are being repositioned. Repositioned, not displaced. We're challenging our pastors and churches to see that there's a mission field all around you. And right here in Leduc, in this region as well, the unreached are right here in Alberta. At one time, there was a huge dichotomy. Well, missions was over there, and we raised money and sent people to other parts of the world, but we just simply did evangelism here, basically calling people back to their historic faith or the faith of their childhood and whatever. But that's not the case anymore. Things have absolutely turned on their head. Today, 40,000 new immigrants per year are arriving in Alberta, and precious few come from Christian countries. Well, Canada's a mission field. There's an opportunity for the church right here. We're so grateful for those who have gathered here even today as well. In a post-Christian, pluralistic nation, we need to cultivate a missionary mindset here to reach those that have come from all around the world, to reach the marginalized that are not comfortable in walking through our doors. I have an opportunity to lead chaplains we have 62 Alliance chaplains registered with us across Alberta. That might be a surprise to you. And they are part-time, they are full-time, they are vocational chaplains, they are bivocational chaplains. But they have an opportunity, whether it's the military, whether it's the prison, the campuses, corporate world, to go into places that the church has no access to. And I say, you have developed a missionary mindset. You need to teach us in the church what it means to engage in conversations, have spiritual conversations with others. And so not only in Alberta, but in Canada, we're shifting to a new paradigm that there's one mission. It's not foreign mission. It's one mission. We're dissolving the foreign and home mission divide. There is a 5S movement. There is the sand, the silk, the sun, the spice, but also there's the sea right here in Canada as well. How do you nurture a missionary mindset that engages least reached people in your region? Well, we're offering Kairos courses, and maybe you've heard of it. An excellent way to cultivate a missionary mindset, to see the world through God's eyes and how His heart breaks for His people. Well, those are the three priorities that we're calling our churches and calling our people out to these days. And I thank you for the Duke Alliance. I thank you for your faithfulness over these 20 years. And I encourage you, Christ is building His church. He's for you. He's not against you. He wants to build His church. And I challenge you to take up these three priorities and continue to perhaps send personnel, send your pastor and your leaders to explore what this might mean here within your own body, within your own community. Well, how about in a way to close the service here this morning, we have put together an Alliance Visionary Prayer. Some of you are aware of it. It's a beautiful prayer. And I would like for all of us just to read it together as sort of our commitment that this is what we desire as a church body. So would you stand together with me? I'll read it first so you get familiar with it if you haven't seen it. And then let's just simply read it together. Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for You first and foremost. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Okay, would you join together with me now and read it? Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for You. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Join me in prayer and just remain standing. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this wonderful, glorious morning that we're experiencing. The warm sunshine outside, the warm fellowship inside as well. Lord, we thank You for Your transformative work in each one of our lives. Thank You that we're connected to You via Your Holy Spirit. We desire to be the salt and light in this broken world. We surrender ourselves afresh to You and abandon ourselves to Your will. Lord, I pray for this church. Would You transform it as well for Your glory? Anoint Leduc Alliance afresh with Your Spirit as they make disciples who make disciples. May Leduc Alliance Church continue, as we've heard this morning, be reminded, be a beacon, a lighthouse, a place of hope and healing, continuing to contribute to the well-being of this community. And may this church also see disciples formed and sending forth leaders and workers like Cody Lewis and Warburg and others down throughout the years as well. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to use Leduc Alliance to contribute and transform even the world and have an impact upon it. Help each one and the leadership here to listen expectantly to your voice. Help this church and its leadership to be agents that will push back the darkness with light and with your grace and with your mercy. And may Leduc Alliance, Lord, and may each life that's represented here reveal something of your presence and your power in these days ahead. We give you praise and we give you all the glory for what you've done and what you're going to do. Amen.